Somebody has a new salad. Wow, wow, wow.
Wow, I didn't even know that.
Wow, is that a salad?
Yeah, it's a hybrid. It's a hybrid.
Is that just combed or is that cut?
No, that's cut. I went for the cut today. That is my second cut in, I would say, 8 months, which is definitely a record. And I got the haircut probably a month and a half ago, knowing that we were doing Free Agent Frenzy. But I told you the story that
day. No, you didn't have your haircut that day.
I got it cut like too far in advance. I got it about a month before that, and then I overshot. And instead of going in there and getting it cleaned up, I thought it's too soon. I'll just ride it out. And then, you know, my hair was flowing on Free Agent Frenzy, which I'm fine with. I'm happy with that decision. But I've been waiting for a while. I said, I got to get back in there. And
yeah, it's glorious.
A little tune up today. Yeah.
It's full up top. Like you've got the full loaf of bread and the side, kind of a side swipe too. Like it's been
directed.
I love it. I think it's fantastic.
I think the people, there's no one in my house, but everyone really appreciates the haircut, and it'll be an interesting experiment because we'll see. I got my girls coming home tonight, and I would guess none of them are going to notice that I got my haircut.
Dude, not a person in your household will notice you got a haircut.
Your wife will. Your wife will.
She will in about 3 days.
Yeah.
She'll pipe up. We'll be watching something, you know, Thursday night football, and she'll say, did you get your hair cut? Like, yeah, I did on Tuesday morning. Yeah. I've been sleeping here and living here for 48 hours.
All right. Let's do an experiment. Don't say a word, and you tell us tomorrow if she listens
Jamie's,
to the show, we're in trouble.
Someone's going to text her and say, you got to say something about
that's
Brian's
true
hair.
Because I wanted the experiment to be like, you go and don't say a word, but you tell us when she notices the cut.
Okay. I'm assuming someone will likely tip her off. She's working right now, so believe me, she is not listening, she's not watching, she's not downloading the podcast to hear what we're talking about at 4 o'clock. So unless someone tips her off, this will be a legitimate experiment. So I'll let you know. We'll find out tomorrow at 4 o'clock. But yeah, it feels good. You know, a little bit of normalcy. Get in there. You know, not shaking hands and kissing babies, but waves and thumbs up to everybody. And how's everyone going? And how's everyone doing? And
a few points.
A couple of points. You know, a couple of, I didn't quite understand you with the mask on. Can you speak up?
That is the worst.
Which happens, but
it is tough understanding people with the mask on. Like, and what do you do? Like, you have to say, I'm sorry. Like, you know.
My thing is, Noodles, I feel rude because I end up really projecting and I'll get loud. And I get this impression like, people are like, okay, relax, dude. Like, what's your problem? Just tone it down. But the reason I'm doing that is because I assume, you know, it's muffled a little bit, right? Like, if I'm a low talker, not that I generally am, but if I'm mumbling or a low talker, not in the mood for engagement or whatever, you add a mask on top of it, I don't think people are going to understand me. So I'll say, you know, someone will be like, sorry, what's your name? Brian. And they're like, well, relax, idiot. Like, level of decorum would be acceptable there. But I think I go over the top of the mask because you have to do it.
I think people should be loud because I would rather that you're loud and they can hear you instead of saying, excuse me, I have no idea what you just said. Mm-hmm. And if you just set it at room temperature, to use your comment, it could be construed as Ryan, not Brian, because the mask muffles.
That's
all right,
right,
Ryan, come on in here.
Yeah.
Everyone should be loud.
Or maybe they might think it's Dave, like Sam Mitchell.
They could. Sam Mitchell for years was convinced it was Dave Naylor on the show.
Or you could be called Mike.
Or you could be Mike, like Ross Atkins thinks your name is. So.
Well,
speaking of salads,
the World Series wraps up. I think the following week, maybe next week, we get into the 2020 version of the salad rebuild. I think it's time. I think it's time. Not that any of us, maybe none of us, will be on it.
Well, I don't know. I think the Rogaine, it's not. I haven't been using it as diligent. Like, it's supposed to be 2 times a day. I just throw it on sometimes at night if I remember. But I feel like it's battling back. Like, I'm not going to point the divot out, but You know, my
are you
kid
going?
Had,
are you going All-Star Game, Iafredi with the divot? Like, are you combing no. it up towards around the divot?
No. If it ends up just naturally going away, there's nothing I can do about it. I'm almost 50 years old.
I know, but you just call your doctor, buddy, and say, "Look, I want to go in for the surgery." You do it. You got 2 weeks vacation. You go in. And
what if
it's
I
all
come
good.
Back in 2 weeks and I'm wearing a helmet and I don't say anything? I'm just wearing a just helmet with a
your goalie with a, mask. A goalie yeah. mask.
Or if there's some malpractice, you come back, you just got a massive scar along your forehead.
Yeah, your whole forehead is full of hair.
Yeah, you got the Frankenstein. There's noodles with his new salad, but everything else is damaged.
No,
Teen
see,
Wolf.
I don't believe I would make the top 10 because, I mean, there's Strutty, there's Kaber.
Well, those guys, I don't know if they can be back in it. Strutty's already won a draft. I mean, I guess he is from Edmonton and they are familiar with winning draft lotteries year after year after year.
That's
so
true.
So maybe he should be included. Maybe Kaber could be. But I think we could come up with a completely fresh field of salad rebuild contenders.
Was Todd Reirden on the last one?
Yes, he was.
I can't remember if he was.
We have to get Grappler. By the way, Grappler getting some love on Twitter from Sean Merriman.
Yep.
What?
Like, oh, yeah. Sean Merriman. I guess Grappler tweeted out the lineup. And Sean Merriman,
who's coming on in 20 minutes.
Yes. Said, great Ross job Atkins. By the producer. Great job by the producer. What a lineup. So Grappler getting some love. I'm loving it.
Well, that's a good thing. The Grappler and Mullen and Megan, you know, all the people pulling the strings behind the scenes. That have somehow found a way to get us on the air every day. What day is it now? Like 217 or something? Like,
it's usually on the ticker.
Sometimes Megan puts it up to start the show all the time.
216. Quarantine day 216. So we've been at home for 216 days. Doesn't feel like
how
it.
Wild
feels
is
like
that?
500.
Dude, I feel like the hundreds just blew by and I never paid attention. Like I have a mental image of day 41 up on the screen and then day 78. Like I can remember the double digits. I don't remember looking at the screen, and Megan does it before every show, where it says day 115, day 149. I don't remember that. We're already through 200 days at home.
Wow.
And it's wild. And I don't know when we're going to get back in. We will be back in studio at some point. We're lucky enough. We got a job where we've managed to pull it off, and I think it sounds good, looks good. So I don't get the impression like people are too concerned about where we're doing the show right now.
I don't have being at home affecting my schedule, but a day like today, I just look outside, it's rainy, it's kind of cold. I'm like, man, today would be a day where you just go down, watch morning skate, there's hockey on. I find just the sports is such a big part of the calendar. There is NFL, baseball is winding down, but usually you're like, there's going to be some kind of hockey game tonight, or I could go down and watch the Leafs morning skate, and it's just not happening. I find that weird.
I'm fine. I haven't left the house. Well, I'm lying. I did leave the house once today.
In 216 days.
No, I left the house today. I had to go. I grabbed something from Home Depot because I have a side project going. I don't know. Tell me if it's crazy or not. But I'm just for fun. I'm refinishing some chest of drawers and a dresser.
Look at you.
So I took a sander and sanded it down and stuff. I watched a YouTube tutorial for 20 minutes, and I believe
you're
I can do it.
Mr. Carpenter over there.
So
I like
I'm working
it.
Out
get
in
on board. Why not?
Working out in the garage.
You need hobbies over there.
It hasn't gone that well early on, but then I battled back, and I think the coloring is quite sharp. Very
well,
happy.
Well, I support that, and I agree with you, although in terms of it just being a little bit off. Although I will say, you know, I was thinking about it today, gearing up for the game tonight. I'm really looking forward to this ball game. And this is when it's supposed to happen. And I remember getting into this argument that would shock the two of you with Johnny. It was myself and Mike Johnson back in July, I think it was. The both of you were off. And we were debating which season is going to feel more normal and which one will be the furthest away from the asterisk conversation. And I made the argument that baseball would. And he was flabbergasted. Johnny thought it was ridiculous, and he went at me for it. But the reason I said that was because of the timeline. I said the reason I feel like baseball is going to feel the most normal is because it quite literally will be played when it's supposed to be played.
Right.
Like, if there was no pandemic, we'd still be playing Game 6 of the World Series tonight. Now,
what
it would
the
be
hell
a
was
Dodger
his
Stadium.
Counter-argument? What was his argument?
Well, his argument was that it's not 162 games.
We all get that. That's just not possible. That's just
right.
That's just
right.
Reality.
But it is a legitimate argument, like, in terms of we're dealing with something that is not normal. Like, it wasn't like he came at it like there's nothing that could be comparable or whatever. He just suggested that the NHL and the NBA would feel less of a gimmick because they played more of the regular season, which means you had more of an opportunity to get into the playoffs the way you were supposed to. I don't know. It was an argument, a debate from day 78 of quarantine.
Steve Phillips,
it was a long time ago.
Phillips touched on that the other night in SportsCenter. I think Corey Warren asked him about an asterisk, and he said the two best teams, which everybody kind of thought, are in the World Series, aren't
right.
they?
Right, yeah, absolutely.
They had the best record, the second best record, and they're both in the World Series. So,
And you know what? Brian, you even said this too. Like, Tampa deserved to be in the Stanley Cup. Like, you know, even – like, I don't know if Dallas did, if it would have gone a full – like, but Dallas was a good team. Like, it wasn't like, you know, two dud teams, you know, got lightning in a bottle with the NHL, too, and made it. Like, Tampa was and has been a legit elite team the last 2 to 3 years. So they deserve to be there.
They were a great team, and exactly. If this pandemic never hit and they went on to win a Stanley Cup, nobody would have been surprised. Same
right.
thing with the Lakers. Nobody would have been surprised. But my argument at the time was, you know, it was a 3 or 4 month layoff. It was almost as if you were starting from scratch again. Where with baseball, it has been consistent. Yes, it has not been 162 games, but they have been playing since whatever it was, July 20th, all the way through. There was no stoppage for 4 months, regroup, everyone gets healthy again, game plan, some people are in shape, some people are not. Right. And I think baseball, like, I have found myself more connected to the schedule because it feels like it's supposed to, right? Like, yes, we missed out on April, May, and June baseball and the beginning of July baseball, and we missed out on 162. But at least it was a complete season, a season that rolled over. And then, yeah, you had the expanded playoffs and you had a goofy wild card, but then it was a 5-game DS, 7-game CS, 7-game World Series, right? And tonight you're going to have fans in the building. The two starters would be the starters. Yeah, we're missing out on Mary Hart and Larry King being asleep at Dodger Stadium, but
yeah, you're right.
It's supposed to be happening tonight, you know. And I heard a clip. I don't know who it was with. Cause was playing it in the last hour, and the impression is throughout basketball is they want to get going here so that next year they can feel normal again, you know. And I appreciate that because I'm with it. Like
yeah.
I want to see hockey again. I want to see basketball again, but I want to see them get back on schedule the way they're supposed to. I'm not interested again in the Stanley Cup being handed out in September or the Larry O'Brien at the end of August. You know, that we did it, we had to do it, but now that we're through it, let's never do it again. And if we have to get back on the court and back on the ice quicker than we thought, so
but
be it. Go yeah, do it. Make it
right.
happen.
But I was looking at it last night. Like, I don't know if it's that much quicker because usually, let's say the Stanley Cup is handed out, what, June
25th?
10th. Well, no, but like it's usually
yeah,
like
okay,
that first
mid-June.
Week. Okay, yeah, mid-June. And then, what, you start training camp in early September. That's, you know, two to three months off. That's, you know, from when the cup was handed out to when it projects that, let's say they start playing January 15th, that timeline's pretty much the same. And so what it is if you have a shortened season, to your point, Brian, if you have a shortened season, you can get it done by July 15th or July 1st or whatever and start again on time. All you're doing is you're resetting, but the timeline as far as the break for the players seems the same.
Right. Outside of basically the finalists, outside of
right.
the Lightning, the Stars, the Lakers, and the Heat, and maybe the final four teams.
Right.
You know, maybe whoever was kicking around in the final four. But like you hear Danny Green, and Green was doing his podcast, and Danny, I mean, he's informed. I don't think he's winging it here. I think he's kind of aware of what's being said in the background. Is he suggested, like, the first month of the season, if they begin on December 22nd, star players just aren't even going to show up.
What and he does mentioned, that mean, though?
He mentioned LeBron. Well, I don't know. I mean, I don't think it's legit. I mean, to be fair to LeBron, he didn't say it. He's not the one issuing the statement. This is Danny Green. And I wouldn't be surprised if this is the kind of stuff being said behind closed doors, but it's not actually going to get followed through on. right? Like everyone does that. I'm not doing this. I'm not doing that. Then they go and do it. But I'm guessing LeBron, after being in the bubble for as long as he was, isn't that keen on starting on December 22nd. But it's not his league, right? It's the league. It's the owners and the union. And if they're told they got to play, then he should be there playing.
I agree. That worries me, though, because you're right. I don't think Danny Green's just shooting from the hip. He probably has.
He heard somebody babbling about that, saying, I don't know about that. You want to throw out December 22nd? And it might have been just, like you said, Hayes, just talks. I'm not going to be there. But ultimately, you know what? You are going to be there.
Well, or conversely, I don't think if LeBron legitimately goes, hey, like if some of these guys are like, no, I need more time. Don't you think the league would adjust maybe a week or two or something and not even tell? Like, they're not going to go, hey, we adjusted the start time because LeBron wants until the 1st of January. You know, like I could see that they do have the stars of that league have a lot of pull.
They do have a lot of pull, but at some point Adam Silver's got to put a stake in the ground.
I understand
You know, like
that.
At some point, yes, you listen to the players, but this isn't about anything other than I'm tired and I don't want to play yet. Like, if that's true, and again, to be fair to LeBron, this is not – he hasn't said anything. This is Danny Green on a podcast. So people are going to go at LeBron because his name came up, and it's going to make it such a more polarizing topic, and people are going to go into it and get after it from every different angle.
Right.
But if there's truth to it, that LeBron and others, you know, Jimmy Butler, whoever, the stars who are around for until the end are like, we're not coming back, Adam Silver's got to basically step up and say, I don't care what you say, we're playing. Right. And you're playing, or at least be selective with your load management. Like, if the season begins on December 22nd and the Lakers are playing at home and LeBron's getting his ring, he better be there, he better play. Take the next five games off if you have to. It wouldn't be ideal, clearly, especially with TV rights basically keeping everyone afloat. And I think the players need to recognize that the businesses, every business, including pro sports leagues, they're in trouble, they're losing money, they're trying to hold on for dear life, and it's on the players to help them with that. But, you know, no one's naive enough to believe that, especially in the NBA, these guys are going to play every night. Like, load management is here, and it's here to stay.
Yep.
And it's going to happen. But be selective. Camouflage your load management. Don't literally say, I'm not showing up until the end of January. Mm-hmm. Because if you do that, you got to fine them, you got to suspend them, you have to. Like, at some point, you're running a business here.
Yeah.
It's not LeBron James's league. It's not Kawhi Leonard's league. It's the NBA.
Play two games and then show up with your glass of wine like you did a couple years ago.
Right,
exactly.
Yeah. I mean, I'm all for it. I want the sports to start as quick as possible because it keeps us like engaged. And believe me, I love just watching, especially hockey, but you know, all I could think about is, and this is just selfishly, and I'll bring it to this market. Auston Matthews should have scored 50 goals last year.
Yep.
He got screwed. If they have a shortened season, he's going to get screwed again. Like, you know, unless he scores 50 in 60 games, which
probably not going to happen.
Yeah. But, like, there's a scenario where, again, I know it's just one thing and it's an individual accolade, but you know, here's a guy that in back-to-back seasons, you know, right in his wheelhouse, could be messed with because of a pandemic. You know, and I know it's not that big of a talking point, but it is something just based on the history of the Toronto Maple Leafs only having, what, 350 goal scorers?
Yeah, three all time. Yeah, no, for sure. But, you know, I think the team success is clearly a bigger issue.
I get it. You're right.
As long as you get to the playoffs, then I don't really care if Matthews scores one goal or 100 goals. But, yes, I understand what you're saying. But that's just what's coming with this curveball that's been thrown at us.
Yeah.
And I'm more than happy. Honestly, I wouldn't care if they played a 30-game season, 40-game season, and just get it back on schedule. So this time next year we're looking at 82 games, hopefully going two games again, going to bars again, you know.
Yeah.
And I hope that is a part of the conversation. Anyway, Sean Merriman coming up. The Rams looked good again last night. The Bears, not so much. That offense is a mess. We'll get into that. Trevor Lawrence hinting at the idea of staying in Clemson. I don't think there's a shot that's going to happen.
I would, man. I would.
Okay, we'll come back and get into that. Sean Merriman coming up. Ray will join us just after 5 o'clock. Game 6 of the World Series tonight. We'll tee that up. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 4. All right, Sean Merriman coming up in just a moment. Week 7 officially behind us. The O-Dog and I still alive in our Survivor pool, which might be the most shocking news story of 2020. And there's been a lot of them. But somehow we're still alive.
Who did you take?
I sent you the graphic of who we have and who we have selected.
And I like it a lot. Noodles, you just asked a question. We have been just sweating out victories the past couple of weeks.
Yeah.
And, like, we were on the Bills at the Jets. Fading the Jets all year is probably the smartest play. Like, if you're in a survivor pool.
No, but they're going to bite you in the ass. I thought they were going to do it against Buffalo, but then they came back. They got kicked. They literally got kicked to a victory by Buffalo.
Right.
It was scary. In a mess, but we're alive.
Our last three victors, Buffalo, good team, but haven't been playing great. Miami, who's 3-3, and the Cowboys.
How did we even get that? Who did they beat?
They beat the Jets. We bet against the Jets 2 weeks in a row.
Yeah.
And
don't do it a third.
Rolling. No, I don't think we will. We still got Kansas City we can play, and that is screaming at me because I think, actually, is Kansas City playing the Jets? I think they might be. I got to look that up. They're playing some brutal team. Like, the spread is just – yeah, they're playing the Jets. They're a 19.5-point favorite. Like, do we just keep riding against the Jets? We might
that,
have
that, that pick I'm quite comfortable with.
Yeah, I would feel pretty comfortable with that as well. The question now around football is, you know, Trevor Lawrence and the idea of him maybe going back to school, and I guess he was posed the question and he said, you never know. He's not going back to school.
Just pull an Eli. We just talked about it, Brian. Just pull an Eli, and if he doesn't like the team, if it's the Jets, he just say, just pull an Eli. Say, I'm actually not reporting there, so do something with me.
Well, here's a guy familiar with the Chargers, and I guess familiar with that situation with Eli back in the day. Longtime NFLer. Back on Overdrive here is Sean Merriman. Could you see that being the case, Sean? Could you see Trevor Lawrence? You know, let's say the Jets go 0-16, they get that first pick. Could you see Trevor Lawrence pulling an Eli or pulling a John Elway and saying, I'm not going back to school, but I'm also not going to New York. So you better deal me if you get that top pick.
I could, actually. You know, back when Eli did it, I believe it was, 2004, just a year before I got there, you know, I thought that was a little uncalled for because they actually had a good team there. And you know, that following year, I think they went 12-4 or something like that, too. So it was a different situation. But in Trevor Lawrence's case, why would you want to go to an organization that – doesn't look like they want to do anything to help you win, right? They're not putting all the plays together. And you know, not to mention, Sam Darnold, not a bad quarterback, but he's just on a bad team and he's on a bad organization. So that's just proof right there that if you're Trevor Lawrence, you make it known and you let them know. And look, they can still go and do and draft you anyway and see what you do then and try to pull your card. But if I was him, I would not go. I'm not going to go to an organization that's not going to put me in the best situation to win a football game.
Could the organization do anything from now to the end of the season to change the outlook on that or the narrative, whether it be getting rid of Gase? I don't know what they could do, but could you see them doing anything where Lawrence could say, okay, maybe I'll go now?
Yeah, for one, you would have to fire Gase. You'd have to fire Adam Gase for sure. You'd have to get him out of it. At least show any new draft or any free agent, because that's what you got to remember too. It's not just about who you draft, it's about getting free agents, top free agents to the organization, and nobody wants to go there. You know, look how they're willing and dealing and with certain guys. I mean, Le'Veon Bell be another one. You just didn't use the guy correctly. And Adam Gase let it be known that he wasn't his guy when he got there. So, you know, I don't care who you are, if Le'Veon Bell, you should use him and find a way to make it work for the player. You know, you come in as a coach and you haven't done anything in NFL yet you're willing to dismantle as soon as you get there. So, Trevor Lawrence, you know, if he ever hears this, you know, don't go. You know, make a decision. And it's a business decision. It's not anything personal towards them. It's a business decision because you are the number one draft choice and you want to go to an organization that is at least going to support or have some kind of light at the end of the tunnel that they're going to do what they need to do in order for you to win.
With longtime NFLer Sean Merriman. So Jerry Jones was doing his weekly radio hit down in Dallas. And he goes on there every week, and the hosts just grill him, and it's ugly, as you would expect. It's awful in Dallas right now. They just got smoked in Washington. And this was a little taste of the back and forth this morning.
Does your team have a leadership void?
We're in the offensive line. Where you,
just overall, where, when
seriously,
these...
but seriously, where would you have a leadership void? Is it an experience void? Is it a talent void? Is it a leadership void? I'm not trying to be cute here. The answer is no. The answer is no.
I'm asking.
There's not a. Well, just shut up and let me answer. No.
All right. So there you go. Shut up and let me answer. No, a leadership issue is apparently not a concern for Jerry Jones, which wouldn't surprise me because that would mean he screwed up putting this whole team together. He never takes it on the chin. It's always someone else's fault. But what do you see when you watch Dallas? I mean, they're obviously a mess and they're a drama off the field and they're calling out their coach and they're calling out each other. But what's your read on how this Cowboys season is going to play out here?
Yeah, you know, just looking at the games and forget about all the mishaps they're having and getting beaten, the amount of points they're letting people score on them. They're just not playing for the coaches. They're not playing for them. There's no enthusiasm there. They don't want to. You know, you have some coaches that make you run for the wall, and you have some coaches that are not that great. Guys just quitting. They're not giving it their all anymore because that's the only thing you control, right? If you're playing on a bad team, the team is bad. You know, you might have a terrible secondary or – you know, guys not playing well up front, but there should never be a lack of effort. And right now, that's what's going on. They have a lack of effort there, and that starts from the top. The coaches can't get a rise out of these guys. They can't get them to go out and put anything extra into it. But the second part of that is that, you know, I've got a chance and an opportunity to play on some great teams, and I'll tell you that the players ran the team. And any time that we caught somebody slacking and wasn't doing what they were supposed to do, you best believe that LaDainian Tomlinson or Phillip Rivers, Antonio Gates, Jamal Williams, Lorenzo Neal, somebody, you know, Nick Harwick, somebody's going to come and grab you and say, listen here, you know, you dog it on that play again, and we're going to have to come and see you in the locker room. I mean, we had that type of team where everybody was held accountable. But when you see something like this going on and it's across the board, they've already tanked it because they don't want to they just don't want to play for the coaches, and it's showing.
With Sean Merriman, longtime NFLer, offensive rookie of the year. It's really a debate that hasn't been raving yet, really raging, and it might pick up with Tua getting out on the field for the first time next week. And there's obviously been focus on Joe Burrow, who's been doing great. But Justin Herbert's been lights out as well. And he is,
what an arm on that character.
Dude, he's got all the makeup, doesn't he? Like, he's got the credentials. He looks the part. He's in L.A. He looks like an L.A. guy. I mean, what's the buzz like on Herbert, and do you think he's got a shot at winning Offensive Rookie of the Year?
Yeah, but, you know, for me, I wouldn't put that on him so early. And I don't know if you've seen the press conference when Anthony Lynn came out, and I guess whoever the reporter was asked him about not praising Justin Herbert. Coach Anthony Lynn was basically saying, hey, listen, I may be praising him behind closed doors. You don't know what the hell he's talking about, right? And I would kind of back that up and saying the same thing, because let's not crown anybody just yet. And don't get me wrong, when he was up and they were talking about the top three quarterbacks the Chargers were looking at, I put out a tweet some months ago during the offseason, around the combine time, and said, Justin Herbert, he's it. He's the future. And the talks of Phillip Rivers already leaving the organization, knew that they were trying to move on. And I said, there's no other quarterback that they have to take other than Justin Herbert, because he has all the tools to go out and win this team a championship. And I still do believe that, but I'm not going to crown anybody after, you know, a good four or five games. And we'll see. If he keeps up the pace, obviously he'll win the Offensive Rookie of the Year. But it's really about longevity and what he's going to be able to do for the next three, five-plus years. And that's what's going to be key and important.
What would you do if you're the Bears with that offense? Watching them, it looks like they're the kind of team where that, you know, whether it's Foles behind center or Trubisky, it looks like they're maybe just good enough to get to the playoffs and then get dummied in the playoffs. It seems like Foles has just attached himself to that Super Bowl win, but ultimately, I really don't know what you would do. Do you go back to Trubisky? How would you handle that situation in Chicago?
Well, Well, whatever they do, you have to do it and stay with it, right? Because when you start to send mixed signals, and it's not easy just have a guy come in and play well, and then he's not playing well, do you bench him, you put in the other guy? Whatever decision they make has to be for the rest of the season because it's not fair to the rest of the guys on the team. It's not fair to the wide receivers. It's not fair. Don't get me wrong, they looked a bit shaky on offense, but if you find some ways to not get yourself beat on offense with that defense that they have, I mean, they can get after it. These guys get after the punt, and you can rely on them. So what the offense has to do for the rest of the season is go out and don't get the team beat. You know, don't turn the ball over. You know, give the defense a short field to play with. Start doing all the little things correctly. Mind you, I mean, look back at it. I'm not comparing these two, but the 2000 Ravens. I mean, these guys only averaged 11 to 12 points on offense and went to a Super Bowl. And I'm not saying they have that type of team, but it is possible for them to go out and average, 17 to 20 points a game and win a lot of football games with that defense they have.
Always great catching up with you, Sean. We'll do it again down the road. Thank you for this.
Thanks a lot. Thanks for having me.
There's Sean Merriman, longtime NFLer, three-time All-Pro. He's big into MMA as well. And next time we get him on, we might have to ask him about Habib and will he get back in the octagon and who's the best pound-for-pound all time. I guess John Jones is taking issue with people suggesting that Habib is better than him. But I'm not sure we're going to see either guy ever fight again.
Jones got his own issues. Yeah, he's got some issues, right?
He retired, quote-unquote, also, because I guess – I don't remember what the issue was with him. There's always something popping up, but I don't think this one was legal or anything. It was something to do with his contract or who he wanted to fight, and it wasn't available, so he set him out. But I would think Jones will probably fight again. And as I said yesterday, I think Habib will likely reset, regroup, and maybe it's a year from now, but likely take on a fight again as well. Just a matter of who it is. But,
Well, Jones has had, I think he would be considered the greatest of all time, right? But, I mean, doesn't it, the luster come off him a little bit just based on some of the legal trouble he's had, correct?
Yeah, but that's, I guess, a separate conversation. But if we're talking just pure talent and ability and production in the octagon, just based on me surveying MMA freaks and people that love the sport and are into the sport, my understanding is it's not unanimous, nothing like this would be, but John Jones is considered the greatest of all time. Like, that's what I've always been of the impression, you know, that he is – when he's on his game, he's unstoppable. Just the way he's built, his speed, his techniques, his power.
Yeah, everything, the whole package.
The whole package is just off the charts. That said, Habib's 29-0, so he never lost a fight, right? If you don't
lose.
Pretty
good record.
Yeah, it's kind of like Mayweather, right? Like Floyd Mayweather, people hate on Floyd because of the way he acts and the way he promotes and the way, you know, he's cocky in the ring, he's cocky outside of the ring. And I understand he has not fought the same level and caliber of boxers that some of the all-time greats are. But I never see Mayweather considered even like a top 25 boxer of all time. When I go down rabbit holes and start trying to pick up on – and it's tough. Pound for pound is tough because you get guys who are 140 and you get guys who are 240. And how do you determine who is the greatest pound for pound, different eras, all that kind of stuff. But I never see Mayweather considered, you know – one of the all-time greats. Meanwhile, he's never lost a fight.
Yeah.
Like, he's literally never lost in the ring.
That's
so
true.
So probably should be considered, wouldn't you think?
Yeah, I would think so. Speaking of pound for pound, isn't there a gentleman, I think his name was Harris from last night. Did this guy go to Regina and drink about 40 or 50 beer?
Akeem Hicks.
Hicks.
Yeah. He went to the University of Regina. Which is always, you know, Americans are like, pardon? What did Steve Levy just say? Like, you know, a lot of the maturity level sinks pretty quickly when people hear the word Regina.
Obviously.
But I guess his routine, because he's a massive dude.
Yeah, 315, is he?
Yeah, like he's a
monster,
defensive
6'5", 315.
Like 40 beers, that's Andre the Giant type numbers. 40 pints in one sitting.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how bloated are you? 40 Bud Lights in one sitting.
That's outrageous.
Yeah. Outrageous.
Yeah, I witnessed a teammate do 42 Coors Lights. And
what was the time limit, though? Like, what kind of time are we talking
about? Yeah, like, that's a noon kickoff, and that's till 3 in the morning.
I don't know. This guy was I mean, I do have verification, too, because there was two of us that were counting. But he, you know, he has a tendency to shotgun beer. Like, his beer is two sips. He could have four beer to your one. Like, that's you have lunch, and he has a couple casual. He'll have six beer to your two beer. That's just basically what he is.
I could have an idea on who this gentleman
and,
is.
And honestly, he... it was like a night. It was like, I think, either year-end party or a rookie dinner. I can't remember which one it was, but it was like, it wasn't like a noon start till like 4 in the morning. It was like, you know, 7, 8 o'clock till 2 or 3, and watch this guy put away 40 beer.
Yeah, that's a night. That's just an outrageous amount of liquid.
It's gross.
You know,
it's
like,
gross.
It's crazy, and people have brought this up before. Then the next day, it's like, here, drink a half liter of water, and people are like, what am I, a camel? Like, I can't do that. It's like, I literally saw you drink 40 beers last night. You can't drink a half a bottle of water the next day. You're too full.
Yeah.
But the counting of the caps, I mean, I guess that is what became famous with Andre the Giant, is he would set up shop, and he would be doing it when he'd have a match that night. That's the amazing thing. These are all we hear about. Wade Boggs, pound for pound, if the stories are true, is the greatest drinker of all time. Because Andre the Giant is a giant, literally. It's not just a clever name. We saw a picture of his jockstrap going viral the other day online. I took a picture of this thing. It looks like a tent. I could go camping in that jockstrap and be comfortable.
You could cover your car in an underground parking garage with that guy's underpants.
Easily.
If you had one of those little, what are those little small, smart
like
cars?
A Fiat.
If you had a smart car, you could get a pair of Andre the Giant's underpants and cover it in a garage.
Yes, you could. Preparing for winter with Andre the Giant's underwear over your smart car.
I'm just going to cover my car with Andre the Giant's underpants, and there will be no dust on my machine.
Not a speck of dust.
Not a speck of dust. There might be a speck of other stuff.
There will be marks. There will be marks. Yeah. Just keep them on the back bumper.
Yeah, that's right. Make sure you adjust appropriately. But he would keep, they would keep his caps, right? Like, they'd be feeding him beers and stuff, and the bartender would be like, I'm keeping his caps. Like, I know what's up. And I guess, like, there's famous stories of Andre the Giant.
Like,
but
100.
I was listening to one guy tell a story, and he said there were a bunch of wrestlers around, and everyone was just absolutely gooned. But he took down something like 106 beers. He was eating the whole time, and then he went to the match that night. Like, he was wrestling that night. Imagine drinking 106 beers. He probably had 5 pounds of wings, like 2 loaves of bread, and then he wrestles that night in front of 15,000 people.
And look at the beer in his hand. It looks like a miniature one that a normal human. That is nothing.
No, that would be nothing. That's like that would be
sip.
A shot. That would be a shot of water for the average person. Would be like a Coors Light beer. He used to drink bottles of wine, like 15 bottles of wine in a night.
Imagine the wrestlers running for their life if they were all in the can and he went into a stall. Oh, my word. After 106 tall boys and a feed. Watch out.
Yeah, I guess he would do that to guys he didn't like. He'd get them up against the turnbuckle and he'd give it the... like the basically butt in the face kind of routine that you see the guys who can't really wrestle. That's their only move, just that they're massive human beings.
I would puke in the mat. I would puke on the mat.
Like there would be, like this guy would leave a bruise on your chest. And it wasn't from impact. It was from flatulence.
Did you guys see, it was recently where somebody, the police were called where a guy went into a Home Depot bathroom and he was like, clear out, I got a bomb, I got to drop a bomb.
Yeah.
And they called the police because they thought it was
a bomb threat.
And the lady on the news was reading it, and she was like, he said, you better clear out of here because I got to drop a bomb in here. And then she started laughing, and she said, I can't believe my producer made me read that.
All right, we got to get that audio moment for the next segment because it's out there. We all saw it a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
It was in, like, Kansas City or something like that.
Yeah, it was the best.
Yeah, we'll play that audio.
In today's world, you know, somebody's yelling about a bomb, you better – people would clear out for sure.
Right, but who gives a warning shot in a public bathroom anyway? Like, what kind of a hooligan is walking into a Walmart washroom?
Yeah, you Andre put your giant sweater over your face and do your business and run for your life.
Right. Courtesy, the kids coming in, yeah, and I am not feeling well. So you better clear out of the Walmart.
Yes.
All right, Ray, in about 20 minutes, we'll find that audio. We'll play it. Yeah. Speaking of Kansas City, they're getting desperate. They want the Raptors to play there because Patrick Mahomes. Basically, Mahomes does anything and everyone just follows suit.
Oh, yeah. Sends out the tweet, we got to get him here. And then all of a sudden, it's all in motion.
Yeah. We'll tell you more about that. We'll get into it. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 4. All right, Ray's coming up in about 15 minutes. Bill Shaken of the LA Times had a Game 6 tonight, World Series. Tony Gonsolin up against Blake Snell. And, I mean, Blake Snell was the guy who kind of got the baseball season started. Remember him on Twitch playing video games, complaining that he wouldn't play for a certain amount of money and don't even call me, I'm not doing it. Kind of coming off like a spoiled brat. And now he's on the mound trying to save the season for the Rays tonight.
I don't like Gonsolin. He doesn't give a whole lot of confidence out. I don't know. I just don't like the matchup. I think this is going to seven.
I hope it does.
And it's like, it doesn't it seem like first inning, it's everything. Obviously, there's comebacks and whatnot, but it's like whoever goes deep and hits a two-run shot in the first, I mean, I can't stay up for the whole games, but you wake up and it's like, yeah, they won.
Mm-hmm.
Massive first inning winner.
Yeah.
It's like there's a lot going on in first innings in these games, I find.
They are. The Dodgers, like, obviously that happened a couple of days ago. They were up, what, 3-0 after the first inning.
Yeah.
And what the Dodgers are doing with two outs is, like, historical. All they do is get big hits and knock in runs with two outs. And I think it'll be a quality game tonight. I don't expect a blowout. I kind of feel like the Dodgers are going to close. I'm curious to see if Walker Buehler is an option tonight. Like, he's supposed to go tomorrow and start. But if you're in a situation where it's like, okay, we're up by three or four late in the game.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
that's where the big decisions come up for Dave Roberts. It's like, you got two to play with, but how do you manage the situation to take control and end it tonight? Like, do you want to go all hands on deck and use your high-leverage guys, or I don't know.
I would if you're up big. Like, if the Dodgers are up by, like, five, you know, and you need two or three innings, I'm bringing Buehler in and saying, let's end
anybody.
It tonight.
Yeah, go for it. You can't save it for exactly. Like, you can't save it for the seventh game if there is one. Mm-hmm. You got to go for it tonight. Treat it like it's a game seven.
You got to treat it like it's a game seven, even though it's a game six. There you go, Noodles. So we don't know what's going to happen with the Raptors in terms of where they're actually going to play. You know, if the season begins on December 22nd, I don't know where we're going to be as a country. I don't know where we're going to be as a province in terms of COVID and the border and all that. So, you know, there have been reports that the Raptors are kicking tires on a couple of different spots, kind of like what the Blue Jays had to go through.
The Yum building.
Yeah, and I guess Kansas City is now openly trying to lure in the Raptors, and it began with Patrick Mahomes, which I guess is cool. Thanks, Patrick. We appreciate it. But now, of course, the mayor. Like, this is what bothers me with politicians.
This is just because of the Raptors. If it was any other team, you wouldn't care about the stupid mayor.
Well, it does bother me because I don't want them going anywhere else. You know, I'm not interested in Kansas City embracing our team. I'm not interested in that. I don't want it. I don't want to see it. I want to see them playing at home and playing at the Scotiabank Arena, but that's out of my control and it might be out of their control. But it's what I'm saying is the mayor, like, does he really want this or is it because Patrick Mahomes said it, so now it's the cool thing to do? And now the mayor's, you know, sending out a tweet, half of it in French, as if we speak French fluently in Toronto. You know, it's really, I know it's bilingual from a federal standpoint, but as we know in Toronto, it's not. So
I think it's good for business down there, though. That's why they want him
probably
there. Like, that's what he's thinking. If I can get, you know, an NBA team to come down here, like, let's do it. Like, you know, to me,
you're saying maybe it's a platform, too, to the future, like,
exactly,
have an expansion, like, team here if it works out with the Raptors. I don't know.
I don't know. That city, I know, like, has always been in an NHL talks. Like, they've got some pretty fantastic buildings there. They used to have an IHL team there, International Hockey League team. Like, I think they could house it. So why not? You know, the mayor's probably, you know, he's not doing it just for the sake of goodness. There's a political angle here. Like, you know, I think he's trying to to get them down there. It's good for business if you could have an NBA team playing in your backyard.
Yeah, it would be if you can get fans in the stands, and it would be if you have people in the, you know, bars and restaurants and all that kind of stuff, and maybe that is an option down there. I don't know. They do have fans in the stands for the Chief games, so maybe Kansas is not a state that's hit as hard. I don't know. But I'm curious
you
to see.
Like
well, I don't want to see them go anywhere. I didn't like that the Blue Jays were in Buffalo. I don't want to see that. I'd prefer they just be here. I don't need another city feeling like, oh, that's our team now. TFC's down in Hartford. You know, the number one team in MLS, and we're never going to see them play here. But I think what I'm saying is it's more because Mahomes is Mahomes. It basically just anything he says becomes the it thing. And I'm not even surprised, and it probably should be, because he is the king of that market.
Right.
And you bring a Super Bowl there, and you sign long-term, even though he got a lot of change, you're going to be the man. And
yeah, the mayor doesn't comply with his tweet. He's a loser for not agreeing with Patrick Mahomes.
Right.
End of story.
I guess that's what I'm saying is, if Mahomes didn't start this, I don't think the mayor is even paying
not even
attention
close.
To the Raptors.
No, not
nor
even
should
close.
He be. You're dealing with a pandemic. There's an election down there in a week. I don't think they should be caring about
the
what
mayor's
the NBA
assistant
is doing.
Pipes in and says, "Hey, did you see Mahomes' tweet? You might want to jump on
top
of that one."
Exactly. Yeah. Hey, Patty's up to something. Maybe we can leapfrog and look like we know what's up.
Show that we care.
Yeah. Exactly, and I think that's precisely what's happening. Ray Ferraro coming up in about 10 minutes. Game 6 tonight. There's a trade in the NFL. We'll tell you about that. It features the Cowboys, and maybe they're throwing up the white flag, or maybe this says something about the issues in the room. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 4.